We're up to Nehemiah, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Gimel. Okay, so Nehemiah arrives, it's Chodesh Kislev, 20th year of the king. We don't know which 20 years, we discussed yesterday, and this person by the name of Hanani, one of the friends of Nehemiah, who he calls my brother, he arrives with colleagues from Yehuda, and Nehemiah asks him what's doing, and he says, bad news, Pasuk of the Rav, the Pasuk Dalet. He goes on to say that it's terrible news. The people are in a very bad state. And the walls of Yerushalayim are breached and the gates have been torched. Now, we discussed yesterday, according to the simple understanding that this took place, according to Rashi, this took place after they already rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt, the walls to some degree were reestablished, and then they were under attack, and there was a very great, there was a new Churban.
Clocks from the Middle Age have Nehemiah after, or they're just separate clocks?
No. I think it's how they have it part of Ezra. I think the old, it's a continuation.
That means, theoretically, if it's written that way,
yes.
You think that chronologically.
Yes, absolutely. That's how Rashi very strongly, that's Rashi's opinion. Rashi's very, very strong in that opinion.
It was always collected.
Correct, absolutely. Even who wrote it, so it was written by a team. Part of it was written by Ezra, part was written by Nehemiah. Certain parts, the parts that were not written by Ezra in Sefer Ezra were written by Nehemiah. So, but then again, we have Tosfos, second opinion of Tosfos, Masechta Rosh Hashanah Daf Gimel says that no, he holds that the events that occurred here in Nehemiah is writing in Mukdam Umu'ucha Batara. The events that are being recorded here really occurred before the events that were recorded in Ezra. Okay, that we discussed yesterday, for whatever reason. But let's see the Apostle Dal, what happened. When I heard these words, Yashavti, I sat down, I cried. V'es Abla, and I mourned Yamim for many days. V'ehi, I was. That's an unusual expression. I was in a state of tzom, of fasting, umispalel, and prayer, lefnei Elokei Hashem, before the God of Heaven. So he did a number of things. He sat down, he cried, he mourned, and he fasted and prayed. What? Pretty much. That's Abla. He mourned. There was what to mourn over. People died. There was people who were killed. Many people were killed. And the similar thing is, there was a new Churban that occurred in the Yerushalayim after they rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. And if we had what to cry and mourn about. Pasik, hey, V'oimar, and I said, Ono, Hashem, please, Hashem, Elokei Hashemayim, Hokel, Hagodol, V'hanoira. He refers to Hakadosh Baruch Hu with three expressions. We're going to discuss this in a few moments. Hashem is Kel, he's mighty. He is Godol, he is great, and he is awesome. Shemer HaBris Bochesed, he guards the bris, the treaty, the covenant that he has forged with Klal Yisrael, with the Avos, Bochesed, and kindness, Le'oihavav, to those that he loves. Well, the Shomer Mitzvosav, and those that love Hashem, or the Shomer Mitzvosav, and those that observe His commandments. Pasuk Vav, Tihino. Now he says to Hashem, Tihino Oznecha Kasheves Veinecha Pesuchos. He asks Hashem, may your ears hearken. Kasheves Koshev means to listen carefully. Hakshiv, to hearken, to listen carefully to my words. May your ears open up wide and listen. Veinecha pisuchos, may your eyes be opened. L'shmaya, to listen el tfilas avdecha, to the prayer of your servant. Asher anochi mispal lefanecha hayom, and I pray before you today. Yoimom v'layla, by day and by night. Al b'nei Yisrael avdecha, concerning your children. B'nei Yisrael, your servants. Umisvadeh. And to confess, and I hereby confess, Al Chatos Bnei Yisrael, Asher Chaton Lach, on the sins of the Jewish people that have sinned before you, Vani Uveis Avi, I and my father's home, Chatonu have sinned. We say this in that name, Ein Anu, Sadiq Manachnu Vloi Chatonu, Avol, Anachnu va'avoseinu chatanu. Part of our vida, we always confess for the sins of our fathers, and it really comes from here. So somewhere, this really where it comes from. Here, he says explicitly, "Vani uveis avi chatanu." Why do we refer to our fathers? Because there are different opinions. One is because we want ain't sadik ba'aretz asher yaseh toivalei lo yachta. We can't, even though it's true, it's not derech eretz for us to say that our fathers have sinned. Who are we to say that our fathers have sinned? But we have to be realistic. We have to be realistic, and the fact is that in tzaddik baritz shayaset avlo yecheta, our forefathers have sinned, and we suffer. A person is mukhlif to say hareni kaparas, hareni. Within the first year, you're supposed to say, "I am the kapara. I am all of the punishment that should come to the father should come to me." So we are taking upon ourselves their sins, and therefore we have to confess, so we should not be punished to the degree that we are deserving.
Conservative.
Yeah, they took that out? Wow, interesting. Fascinating, that's fascinating.
But they gave a point of that is you can't move forward unless you're willing to say, because too many people say it was good enough for my father, then I can do it too. And that's the biggest mistake there is.
Wow.
You have to understand that you can't get better if you don't acknowledge that your father could have made a mistake.
Well, what right do I have to say, my father said? I sinned, and that's it. Finish what I've
done. No, but he just did
that. I understand, but in invoking that, you're playing around with keeping it on the end.
The question is better than the answer.
What?
The question is better than the answer. It's a very difficult question. I don't have a good answer.
Your parents is your ancestors.
Someone. Right, but you have to now be realistic. The fact is, we look back. The fact is, in tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechata.
That's a fact, but I don't have to make a public statement that my father sinned. I sinned as I'm presenting the body.
Not your father. Our father sinned.
I don't. The question is very good. it's very. I don't have a good way of answering the question. It's a
no,
good.
It's like you don't even have to go over to Silver Sun there when he was doing Menachem and things like that. All right, it doesn't matter by what Indian, but the whole idea was he says he lost. They were being Menachem Avil, so he lost two sons.
Yeah.
And he says they didn't deserve to die. They were brought up badly. So the Gemara says, "Are you crazy? That's what you told him." Tanchum Shel Hevel. He meant that society was responsible for the Americans.
You're not focusing on the person, on the specific person.
Saying, I didn't mean him, the father, that I was being. You know, it's like saying
he meant the generation.
Sons with tzaddikim, but you would have bombed. You know, that's the way it sounds.
The
like.
Generation. You're not focusing. You're not saying the father's name. I don't know. I don't really. It's very hard. I don't have a good answer. I gotta go look into this more. Does this study here?
Does the Chiyuv Kibbutz Avayim change at all after death?
Yes, to some degree it does. It does. But you're not letting be mevazeh. Everyone agrees you can't be mevazeh the parent. That's. Okay. I guess it could be anything that's a public sin. You have to also acknowledge there are sins that are hidden and there are sins that are revealed. I mean, any sin which is public knowledge, if the person's forefathers, look at Chizkiyahu's father was one of the greatest tzaddikim, and his father was Ochos. What did he do when Ochos died? He took his father, put him in a mita shel chavolim of ropes, which was a disgrace, and dragged it on the street. And because his father was one of the biggest oiv de avodah zara, father was a public sinner. Chizkiyahu said that, says Notari, not allowed to do these sins. My father has committed these horrible sins, and he has influenced others to follow in his evil ways, and he publicly rejected his father's approach. That is something that's proper. So I'm assuming here what it means is public sins which are not hidden. One thing, a person has a reputation as being a very big tzaddik, and he goes to the next world. So now the son wants to get up, and by the Levayim wants to rabbi, so everyone here thinks he's a tzaddik. Let me tell you some stories that no one knows about. He swindled this one, he did that one. That's none of your business. If a person on public record has been a terrible person that's committed horrible crimes, the son can't say, "Oh, my father was a tzaddik," and therefore.
Silence.
No, it seems like silence is not good enough. You have to renounce.
What you're supposed to do, if you hear a lie at a Levi, you're supposed to raise your hand and say, "I object."
Silence is not an option. That's what we learn from this.
Silent grin.
We learn from this. The question is very good, but we do learn. We have to look at the pasuk. We do learn from the mischatila, from the pasuk, that there is a degree of responsibility for the sins of one's father. The father, a person leaves this world, he has a debt. He has a debt to settle. No person leaves this world without any debt. And it is the duty of a child to atone for the sins of the father. Hareini kaparas. What's the nusach? Mishkavcha. Mishkavcha. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. A person during the first year of his father's patir, parent patir, he's supposed to say, Hareini kaparas mishkavcha. I am the atonement for his death. But any punishment that was meant to come to the father shall come to me. There is an acknowledgement. Nope, every person leaves over this world and there are sins. They have to be taken care of. And part of the atonement is that you acknowledge that was wrong and you are doing tshuva, you want to be better. And that will serve as an atonement for the father in the next world. Yeah.
I read it in the morning when I walked up to confirm what you said. The reason, one of the reasons, why does a person change his seat?
When he's an Avel, yes.
Because it's also be a kapara. It's like he's going into Golis, or in Miklat. What are you for in Miklat? You're in one place, that's your permanent home, and you flee to another.
Exile.
So here you're exiling. It's like Golis. You're changing from this seat to that seat. It's comparable to Golis, and it's a kapara. Because what do you go to in Miklat if you chas v'shalom kill somebody to show you? So here it's like you, in some manner, which you... And it's a strange lashon. It says that you possibly had some influence on the father, that the father passed away.
Bro karadavu, the father, the child is an extension of the father. Same midos the father has goes to the father. The child has been raised in his mold. Look, there's halacha. One of the reasons why a person says kaddish is because in case chas v'shalom the father is in Gehenna. Okay, so the Kaddish reduces the sentence. It takes away the severity of Gehenna and releases the father from Gehenna. So that means every time a person says Kaddish, it's an acknowledgement that the person who has left us, he is in need. There is some degree of din v'cheshbon, and he is in need of a zuchus, and the shalbai, really, every time he's saying Kaddish, you're acknowledging that the neshama needs our help. And what do we do? Well, how do you mentioned is there kibud avohem? So one of the reasons why you only say kaddish for 11 months and you don't say it for 12 months is you should not chas v'shalom that it's because he is in Gehenna. Because if he is in Gehenna, dina shel Gehenna is yud beis chodesh. And if you would say kaddish for yud beis chodesh completely, that would indicate that the person is in need. And in Chanami, it's brought down in halacha. This is a very specific halacha that if the person who died was known to be a Rasha, for real, everyone acknowledged Rasha, then the child should say Kaddish for 12 months.
I think it was the Ger, one of the Rebbe's, I think it was the Ger Rebbe that left the Tzavot.
His children should say 12 months. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not.
That's why you say, my Kaddish.
The Kaddish, yeah.
When I read this, you know, people have a minute, they don't want to Shabbos.
Yeah.
They want to daven on Veils. I read once for us at Pumfakir.
Yeah.
Because what do you daven Motzei Shabbos? Because the neshamas are going back to Gehenna. So what are you showing? If you want to daven Motzei Shabbos, it's as if you're saying that maybe my father, whoever I'm saying, is a Russia, he's going back to Gehenna. So Pumfakir, you don't say, don't daven Motzei Shabbos.
Tell that to the shtibl, where they have 25 million.
I know that.
Convince somebody not to want to show. Mitzvah Shabbos, where all the fist fights break out.
This morning I'm sure that in the old days they only died one person.
One person. The chidah was a mekubal, so he knew what goes on in the next world.
One down Shabbos, one down Musa, one down.
And by the chidah, only one person said Kaddish. Even if there were multiple people in Avelos, only one person said Kaddish. So the chidah, there was a fight. Who should say Kaddish? So the chidah said the one who's the bigger Amma Oretz should say Kaddish, because the one who's a Talmud Chacham can learn Mishnayis. And learning Mishnayis will be a much bigger zuchus for the neshama. The Am HaOretz, who doesn't know how to say learning Mishnah, let him say the Kaddish. The Kaddish is from the lowest things you can do, the simplest things you can do for the neshama. Okay, but here this is an important concept which requires further depth. It's not clear, but a person has to be realistic. You can't. Unfortunately, we have acharei mois kedoshim. After a person dies, then we whitewash their life and they become holy. It's M-R is Achimus Kedoshim. M-R, but what's the Bahar? M-R is Yisaydan. Okay, but we have this tendency to whitewash the past, and we learn here that's not necessarily a milo. There has to be, you have to be realistic, and a person has to confess for the sins of his father. Okay, now let's just see some of the rash before we go further and discuss a few unyanim as part of this confession. Pasuk dal in Rashi yamim kama yamim ono loshen bakosh utchina. Then he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to listen carefully. It's a very interesting expression. Hananya, Nechemya is asking Hashem, listen carefully to my prayer. It's similar to what we do in davening. Hashem, sifosai tiftach ufi ageti losecha. We have a prayer for a prayer. It's a very interesting concept. Before you begin davening, you're coming to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're asking Hashem to help you pray. That's really, in essence, what Nehemiah is doing here when he says, before he begins his prayer, he says to Hashem, Tehino oz necha kasheves v'necha besuchos l'shmoye el tfilas avtach. Before I open up my prayer, I'm asking you to listen to the prayer. And then I will present my prayer. It's not exactly what we do when we say Hashem sifar saitifta, because there we're asking Hashem to assist us in allowing us to express ourselves. Here in Nehemiah is doing something different. He says, Hashem, I'm going to say something very important, but please pay attention. Okay, that's what it says over here. It looks through Rashi, kasheves, kemoy, kasheves, kasher, Yoimar Diktok may ohev ohev the chen yomar min koshev koshev v'koshevus. We're just changing the form of the word. It means Hashem, please listen carefully to my prayer. Okay, that's all the Rashi's. Let's now just know there's something here very important in the opening prayer of Nehemiah. Hakel hagodol v'hanoira. Nehemiah is copying Daniel. Daniel also said exactly these same words. Hakel Hagodol and the Hanoira. Now, which word did they leave out?
Gibor.
So, Nehemiah, you can make a drasha that Nehemiah, to a certain degree, is similar in the same frame of mind as Doniel. There is no mention of the word Gibor. Yirmiah, okay, which goes back earlier, Yirmiah goes back to the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Yirmiah, he said his nusach was hakel hagodol hagibar, but he left out the word noira. He left out the word awesomeness, the last word. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one that had the complete set of words hakel hagodol hagibar v'hanoira. We're going to learn later on in the Chemin Perek Tes, the Anshei Knesset Hagadola, at a later point in time, but later than exactly this moment here, they restored the Maksra Atar Yoshna, and they restored Hokel Hagadol Hagibor V'Hanoira. They put all the words back. So the big question is, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu had all four words, Kel, Gadol, Gibor, V'Noira? Why did Daniel omit Noira, and why did Yirmiah omit Noira, and why did Daniel and Nehemiah omit the word Gibor? So let's just take a step back. Let's focus on the Shmona Esrei. I mentioned this before when we discussed this probably at least once or twice before, but it's kedai to review this idea. In the Shmona Esrei, the first bracha of the Shmona Esrei, we have the four words. And the truth is, the entire bracha of the Shmona Esrei really is just these four words. So, Kel, Hagodol, Hagibor, V'Hanoira. The remainder of the first brach of the Shmona Esrei is an explanation. The Anshei Knesset HaGdola who formulated the first bracha have done us the greatest chesed by translating for us these four words. Let's begin the bracha. We start off Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak ve'Elokei Yaakov. Okay. Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibor ve'Hanoira. Now let's explain. What is Kel? What does it mean, Kel? Hakel Elyon. The next two words of the first bracha, we explain what the means Kel. Kel means power. Yesh le'el yodi lasos lochem ra. Lavan said to Yaakov, I have power in my hand to do to you what I want. Power. Hashem is Kel. Hashem is a Kel. Hashem is powerful. Okay. So there are a lot of powers in this world. Man is also powerful. The moon is powerful. The moon has a magnetic pull. It can pull the water. It can cause terrible hurricanes. It can cause tides to rise very high. The sun is very powerful. The sun can cause the world to heat up. Every heavenly body is powerful. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam. He's also powerful. He also can do things. No, don't make that mistake. The first thing you have to know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we could define as Kel. It's not just an ordinary power like other powers in this world. Hashem is Kel Elyon. His power is above and beyond any power that you can find in this world. Okay, that's the first word. That's Kel. Then we come to Gadol. Now, I don't have in front of me all the details, but Gadol throughout Tanakh always means one thing. To give. Greatness, Gadol means great. I'm a great person. Great. What does it mean to be great? Greatness is defined in terms of how much you do for someone. How much you bestow kindness upon other people. One example we have by David HaMelech. David HaMelech, what he Barzilei HaGiladi. Ish Gadol Me'od. Pasuk in Shmuel. Was a Gadol Me'od. What was the mile of Barzilei HaGiladi? He was from the biggest Balei Tzedakah. He helped David, he gave, he just depleted his assets. Gadol Me'od. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate representation of Gadol. Hashem captures the kind of Gadol. And how do we define, and the Shmuel Esrei says, Kel, HaGadol, Kel Elyon. Fine, we'll finish with Kel. What is Gadol? Goynel Chasadim Tovim Vikonei HaKol. Those four words, Gomel, five words, Gomel, Chasodim, Tovim, Vikonei, HaKol, is a definition of the word Gadol. Hashem bestows upon this world the ultimate kindness, and by doing so, by giving, we recognize He is the Creator, He acquires, He owns everything. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by sustaining everything, when a person gives to you, all of a sudden you become indebted to him. When a person, when your boss, who gives you your paycheck, you look up to him. He acquires you by his kindness, in his grace, and his fact that he bestows upon you. So that's the word Gadol. Now we come to the next word of the four words, Gibor. Now what does it say in Pirkei Avos? Say Zeo Gibor. HaKoyvesh Es Yitzro. A real might is not to destroy. Real Gevura is self-restraint. It's easy to get worked up, get excited, and to press a few buttons and destroy the world. Real Gevura is Chazal. HaKoyvesh Es Yitzro. You restrain yourself. Don't get overreact. We are sinners. Now here's where we're coming to what we need for our psukim. We are always, unfortunately, in a state of sin. We sin often. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish us. But yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'zocher Hashem is gibor. He holds back punishment. Why? In the zuchus of the avos. We have the zuchus avos, bris avos. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds back and does not pour upon us the full measure of punishment that we deserve is because Hashem is always remembering the Zoycher Chastei Avos. And that merit, Hashem is a Gibor. Hashem is Koivesh Es Yitzro. He has self-restraint. He doesn't punish us. Now we come to the last word, V'hanoira. Now this is an amazing idea what the Anshek Nes Hagdol have done for us in this Nusach HaTzvila. What does it mean, Noira? Awesome. Hashem is awesome. Awesomeness is Hashem is constantly Nevi Goel Livnei V'Nehem. History, the entire history of the world is the unfolding of the reward that Hashem has promised our ancestors. Umevi Goel, Hashem brings redemption, Livnei V'Nehem. It's not a one-shot deal. It's a process. It's a process that takes generations, takes thousands of years to unfold. That is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Noira, His awesomeness. So let's review. We have here four words: Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibar, Zeha. We're going to plug that into Yirmiyah, into Daniel, and into Moshe Rabbeinu and the Anshei Knesset Hagadola. But we have to remember, we have four words, and we say this every single day, three times a day: Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibar, V'Hanoira. What is Kel? Kel Elyon. Hashem is a power that is above and beyond anything that we can imagine. What does it mean, Gadol? Hashem gives. Hashem is always giving and is sustaining and doing chesed with the world, more than we deserve. That's Gadol. Gibar, Hashem is always punishing us less than what we deserve. He doesn't pour out upon us His full wrath. Ezeu Gibar, HaKoyvesh Es Yitzro. Why? In whose merit? The Zoicher Chaste, not because we deserve it, not because of us. The Zuchusavos, Hashem is kind to us because we are the children of Tzadikim. And then, what does it mean? Hashem is Noira. He's awesome. He's always in the process of bringing the Geula Levnei V'Neim, or maybe Goya Levnei V'Neim. Now, let's go to Yirmi. Moshe Rabbeinu, he saw the whole world, he sees everything. Moshe was the one who found it, who authored these four words. Along comes Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah is living in the time of the Churban. He's watching in front of his eyes the Beis HaMikdash be destroyed. He's watching the Jewish people come to the point where it's beyond return, and he happened to be not in the city when it happened, he was outside, he sees the smoke rising, he sees the Churban, he comes back and he cries with them, and he goes with them, he accompanies them into exile, he witnesses the Churban. When you witness the Churban, there is a hester upon him of Noira. What is Noira? Umevi Goel Livnei Vinehan. Awesomeness is to witness redemption. When you're witnessing in front of your eyes Churban, and Churban is the complete opposite of Geula, you have to be it doesn't make sense. It's Sheker V'Chozov to say Hashem you Noira. You're witnessing Churban and you're saying Hashem you're bringing Geula. This is Geula. This is Churban. The Mela Yirmiyah felt it's not the time now to say Noira. The Gemara couches it a little bit different. Ayei Noira Yisaf. Where are Hashem's own? It's not that the Anshe Knesset I will say Heim Noira Yisaf. It's deeper than that. It means it's a different Tkufa. Yirmiyah for sure knew Heim Givu Yisaf. Klal Yisrael continues to exist among all of these nations. But at the time, you don't give comfort to a person when the mace is mutal lefanav. There's a time to give nechama, and there's a time to participate in the mourning. So when Klal Yisrael are witnessing firsthand the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, it's not the right time to say Noira. Yirmiyah knows in the back of his mind that there is Noira, there is awesomeness here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did allow Klal Yisrael to survive, that the enemies of the world could have completely obliterated us off the face of the earth, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu poured out His anger on Eitzim Ve'Avadim and allowed us to survive. But at the moment, it would not be the proper thing to say Noira when you're witnessing the actual Churban Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now let's jump ahead. Now let's jump to the time of Daniel, and let's jump to the time of Nehemiah. Daniel and Nehemiah already begin to see Umevi Goyal of Nevinehem. Now, Nehemiah certainly, because Nehemiah is coming here during the time when the Beis HaMikdash already is rebuilt. Now, the Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Sheni, was just a mashu, connected what the Kedusha of the Bayis Risha. But Nehemiah, he sees, look what's going on here. The Beis HaMikdash, the Geula is coming. The process has clearly begun. It's the process of the Navy Goyal of Nevinehem. Furthermore, Daniel also. Daniel was successful in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar and Daryovesh. And Daniel also begins to see the process, the miracles, that how he survived and that he was thrown into the den of lions and Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. He begins to see that even in Golos, Klal Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beginning the process, the Churban is over. And the process of Geula, the 70 years, is beginning to turn, and we're coming now to a point of Geula. Umevi Goya Levnei V'Nehem. But what is lacking during the time of during the time of Daniel and Nehemiah, Gibor. Gibor is Koiveshas Yitzra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still pouring out his anger. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still allowing harm to come to the Jewish people. There is a lack of gevur, zeh gibor, hakoyvesh et yitzro. Hashem is not being that. You'll ask me the question: Why did Yirmiyah say? I don't know. Okay, I don't know. It's a good question. He focused. I mean, just one at a time. He focused on koyvesh et yitzro. Okay, I don't know the answer. So why didn't he say? It doesn't fit perfectly. You have to understand it a little bit deeper. But the Neira is there. Because the geula process is beginning, and that's clear from Nehemiah, and it's also clear from Daniel. But there's still a degree of anger, of divine wrath, that's being poured out on the Jewish people, especially the time of Nehemiah. We're here even after the Beis Hamikdash has been rebuilt. The Jewish people are under attack. They're being harassed. They're being harmed. They're being killed. They're being plundered. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not restraining himself. There is an absence of the expression of Godol. Of Kavish HaSitzra. Later, when things get a little bit better, and now we're able to reflect the big picture of things, that this is going to be part of the process of the Geula coming, then all of them come back together in a different level, a different plane. We relate that even though it's true, the Geula certainly is in the process, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we begin to appreciate that even in the Churban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does withhold the full dosage of punishment that we deserve. Hashem is Koyvesh Es Yitzro more than we deserve. So that word is appropriate. And Hashem is always God and is always Kel. And therefore all the words come back again once again. Yeah.
Yesterday, Rabbi, you said that there was a disagreement when Nehemiah...
Yes, when he came, yeah.
So is this a proof that Nehemiah came after Ezra? Whereas if he had come before Ezra, would he still have been able to use the word Hanara?
Noira, well, Daniel used the word Noira, and Daniel was before. Daniel was before Koresh. Daniel lived Al Shetzar. He lived through three reigns. He lived through the end of Bavel. He lived through Modai, Daryovesh Hamadi, and he lived through the beginning of Koresh. So Daniel, if Daniel did not say the word Hanoira, so certainly Nehemiah would not. Daniel was the one that did not say the word Hagibor, but he did say the word Noira. Even though he was destroyed, because Daniel, through the events, the miracles that he witnessed during the time of Golus, saw already Umevi Goya Levnevi Nehem. Daniel, Yirmiyah didn't see that. Yirmiyah saw Churban. So Yirmiyah witnessed firsthand the Churban-based Hamikdash. There's no way in the world Yirmiyah can say the word Noira. You can't say Noira. You can't say Levi Goel. Hashem is in the process of bringing Churban. We've reached the lowest point possible. Churban is complete. Now begins the 70 years of Golus. Who arrives on the end of the scene of the 70 years of Golus during the end of the 52 years? Along comes Daniel. Daniel during the time of Belshazzar. He arrives there, and even during the Nebuchadnezzar, the end of the Nebuchadnezzar, and then we skip over Evel Meroidach, we come to Belshazzar. Daniel is there after we've already reached the lowest of the low, and now the process begins to go, to swing back up. He begins to appreciate Umevi Goyal, the seeds Umevi Goyal. And it's much more pronounced at the time of Nehemiah, whether Nehemiah took place in the beginning of the Malchus of Koresh, which would mean that Nehemiah would come right after Daniel. So it's a right continuation of Daniel. Or you want to say he came later at the time of, after Ezra, certainly after the Beis Hamikdash has been rebuilt. So certainly you see the process of Umevi Goyal of Nevinam. The word Noah really fits perfectly. Gibor requires more hesbir, because Gibor Kovish is Yitzro. Yirmiyah did say the word Gibor, Hashem is Kovish is Yitzro. Well, the truth is that you can't say not, because Hashem did not completely destroy the Jewish people. There are multiple The Minich Mamor Chazal, Hashem poured out His anger on Eitzim V'Avonim, and that destroyed the Jewish people. That is, to a certain degree, Hashem is Kodesh Yisrael. Hashem really wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. I'm not going to destroy Klal Yisrael. I'm just going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So Hashem is expressing a degree of Gibor, Kodesh Yisrael. That Kuf is over. Fine. We now have the Beis HaMikdash. But why is Hashem now allowing us to suffer? The Beis HaMikdash, it's a status quo. There's no Beis HaMikdash, whatever it is. But yet we're continuously harassed. Why is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu protecting us? Why is Nikovish Asitro? That's missing during the Tekufa of Nehemiah and the Tekufa of Daniel. And therefore they omitted the word Gibor. Later, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. It's a later point in time. Later point in time, you know, hindsight is always 20-20. You're able to look back with a whole different approach. It's not the Idin, it's not the Zman. And they say it's a different level of HaGadol HaGibor V'Hanoira Heihin Giborosav, that indeed we will survive through Golos. Yeah.
The structural thing, the Einecho B'suchos,
Yishmoa. Your eyes, excellent.
But then it says,
to listen, your eyes, Royin es hakoilos. Excellent. So over here, Oznecha kashuvas, Veinecha besuchos, Lishmoya. V'chol ha'om royin es ha'kolos. Fascinating, right? Right. So he's telling, Rebbeinu Shem is begging him, just like when we were Makabel the Torah, that we listened, that the degree of listening was so crystal clear, it was so penetrating, it was as if we saw the sound. That's what the most simplest interpretation. The mixing of the senses means when you listen, l'shmi doesn't just mean to listen, it means to understand. Shema Yisrael. Such intense clarity. We understood the Torah with a clarity that is beyond comprehension. When Nehemiah begs Hashem to hear the prayer, he's begging Hashem to hear my prayer with the ultimate clarity that's possible. That's possible. That's what he's saying. Very good. You're saying fantastic word. Your ear shall hearken. And then, so in Echnami, you shall listen, and you...
Two words before. That's the ears there, but...
Your eyes shall be open to hear. It's another different expressions. I don't know, you have to, these are different, it's very hard to really... Also, the trop is very unique, a karnei farah. You have here, how many times do you have in karnei farah, yerech ben yamo? It's not common, you have in Tanakh, what?
The waves of the voices.
The waves, the voice waves. Okay, great. So it's not common. You have, you know, these are rare ta'anim, and I don't know the significance of the rare ta'anim. You have to know, but obviously the must something much very deep here, and that we do have one of the rare ta'anim in the Necha Pesuchos, the Karnei Farah, the horns of a para. What does that refer to? And the Yerach Ben Yamo, the moon. I know that Rabbi. We have this in Parshas Matos Masei. So there by Wolfson, he has some very fascinating, very deep stuff on the significance of what the Karnei Farah means in Yerach Ben Yamo. So I wonder what he would say. Give us a little bit of an explanation of what it means. Of it. I do not know.
Did we say somehow that maybe Ezra is Daniel or something?
No, Ezra is Moshe. Ezra parallels Moshe. I don't think it says anywhere that Ezra is comparable to Daniel. And there are multiple Mori Chazal which compare the greatness of Ezra to Moshe Rabbeinu. Had there not been a Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah would have been given through Ezra. Okay. Ezra is like his, I want to say, reincarnation of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moshe Rabbeinu of the generation. But on the other hand, Ezra's a Kohen. We mentioned Ezra was greater. Ezra has the mile that he's a Shach Kenegin Moshe Avi
Aaron. You say that.
Right, both. We have a Maimer Chazal Aaron and a Maimer Chazal. Now, I'll just tell you, Derech Hagar, I heard something very interesting yesterday, and it struck me. It's a little bit off the topic. But I was listening to a tape from Rabbi Rakefet. And Rabbi Aaron Rakefet, he's probably one of the biggest experts in American Jewish history. And Jewish history is extremely knowledgeable. And he quoted Rabbi Belkin. Rabbi Dr. Belkin was the first president, if I'm not mistaken.
No, Revel was the first.
Revel. So he was the second president. Rabbi Dr. Belkin was reflecting on his youth in America. And he said, this is Rakefet quoting Belkin, that there were three waves of immigrants that came to America in the end of, in the 19th century and the early 20th century. And three waves, I don't know all the details of how you define three waves, but there's a quote, his analysis, and the three waves of immigrants paralleled the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avraham is the Midah of Chesed, Yitzchak is the Midah of Avodah, of Yir and Gvur, which is Avodah, which is Tfilah, Avodah, and Yaakov is Torah. The first wave of immigrants, they didn't establish shuls. There are a few shuls here and there. They came to America and they established Yados. They were religious, they were Jews, some were more religious, less religious. They set up chesed institutions to help other people. This was the first wave of immigrants towards the end of the 19th or the mid-19th. And
not the German Jews.
Chesed. Their whole emphasis was not on shuls, was certainly not Torah study. It was Yados. It was chesed similar to Avraham. The next wave of immigrants came in the beginning, the early, very early 20th century, and they set up shtibloch, all over the place. Yitzchak is avoida. Avoida is, and then later, towards the mid, the mid or a little bit before the mid 20th century, came a wave of immigrants whose focus was Torah.
Shivas.
Whose Torah? Yaakov Avinu. So you have three waves of immigrants, Chesed, Tfilah, and Torah. And without Torah, and when did Yiddishkeit really take root in America? Torah, we all know that. The Torah is where all the action is. That's the key, that's the secret to Jewish continuity. But Torah can't be Mekuyam unless you have a foundation of Chesed and Avodah. So each wave of immigrants, they established Yadus. So I heard, the one I heard this actually from was not, I didn't hear this from Rabbi Rakefet, I heard this from Rabbi Przanski. Aristide Przanski was quoting Rakefet, was quoting Belkin. It just struck me like a bolt of lightning when I was listening to this, is that really, we mentioned, when we learned Ezra, there were three waves of immigrants who came to Eretz Yisrael, which also perfectly paralleled this same pattern. The first came during the time of Koresh. Koresh issued a proclamation after 52 years, Pekida, come, everyone, you can go. Yeshaya predicted 200 years ago that there would be a person by my name, Koresh, that would allow you to return to Eretz Yisrael. Go. They all went. They all went with the ideals to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, to reestablish. But shortly after they arrived, there was a sitna issued by the Aseres B'nai Haman, and Koresh issued a building freeze, and he issued a stay. No one's allowed to, anyone who got past the river can go, no one else can go. And that was it. So what did this first wave of immigrants accomplish? The 42,360 people, what did they accomplish when they came to Eretz Yisrael? Chesed. They established Yados. They put down a footprint in Eretz Yisrael. There was no Beis HaMikdash. There was no Torah. Torah wasn't what it was. They came. Immigrants came. You can be certain there was Chesed. There were Chesed organizations. People had what to eat, what to do. Then came 14 years later, after the miracle of Purim, Daryovesh, the son of Esther, in his second year, gave permission for the Jews to begin resuming building the Beis HaMikdash. And 6 years later, it was complete. And that coup, for many people we know, they emigrated, they went and they arrived in Eretz Yisrael. A new wave, people who left came back. New people went. And the new people went to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And what did they accomplish building the Beis HaMikdash? What is the Beis HaMikdash? Beis Tfilah, L'chol Ha'amin. The Beis HaMikdash is the second, is Yitzchak. And then who arrives 14 years later, after the Beis HaMikdash is complete, Ezra. And what is Ezra? Moshe Rabbeinu. Torah, Kriya Satorah, he established Kedusha Satorah. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Exactly what happened in America? Maisa Omos, Maisa Bonin, Sivim Omos, the three waves, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Chesed, Tfilah, and Torah. Yeah.
You can entertain and play with something to the modern establishment
of the state here.
The state of Israel.
Okay.
Three
levels of the, okay.
Montefiore, Rothschild as a chesed. That's building of the land of the kibbutzim. And the last one is
Torah.
Is Torah.
Okay, interesting. You have to finesse it. Finesse it a little bit. It's a little bit more complicated. Okay. But it's a very fascinating insight in this pattern that Klal Yisrael, to be established, needs three, to tripod. You have to have three levels. Chesed, Tefillah, and Torah. One without the other is not going to work. But they come in a certain pattern, and you see that in America clearly. And it's fascinating. It's exactly what happened here in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. Okay, so let's stop here. What?
Sometimes we see Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Abraham. How it is?
You need all three. The key to Jewish continuity is Torah.
Starting from Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Abraham.